Welcome back to What's Ailing America, the ultimate in reality radio, with information that can save your life. On the show, you will not only learn what is ailing America and the world, but you will also learn how to recognize the patterns used by the predators controlling our world. The ability to overstand and see the big picture is the critical skill necessary to formulate the solutions we need to escape the living hell we find ourselves in. Regarding health care, of course, this has become very obvious to me in regards to how vaccines create all autoimmune diseases, non-traumatic seizures, cancer, and genetic damage in people and in pets, and how the medical mafia gives toxic drugs which may cover up symptoms but always cause side effects. If you haven't yet done so, I suggest you go to my websites, reversingvaccineinduceddiseases.com and drcarly.com. Check out the diagrams there and listen to the YouTube videos of me explaining them. The first diagram is the cause of all diseases. Always remember, only acting on the truth will set you free. We cannot negotiate nor compromise with evil. In order to eliminate the problems that we have here in this hell on earth, of course, we have to identify who the perpetrators are. And my guest today is an expert at that. If you think my work is important, please tell others about the show. You can support my work by donating on the PayPal buttons on either of my sites to help support me keeping my websites up, my research, etc. You can help friends or family who are too ill to face reality by getting a consult for them. You can contact me by emailing me at drcarly@gmail.com or calling me at 828-294-0662. Between 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. Eastern Time any day of the week. Thanks to Ron at Dependable Voice, I have a toll-free number, 888-321-6751, on which you can contact me from anywhere in the U.S., Canada, or the Caribbean. My Skype username is drcarly1, but I use Skype primarily for international clients and radio shows, so please contact me by the toll-free if you're from those areas where it's able to be used from. Always remember, I do not practice medicine nor give medical advice. Rather, I teach you what I would do if I were you to reverse disease with natural therapies. Please also support the station. You can go to the homepage of OrionTalkRadio.com and donate to the station. You can get a t-shirt to help spread the word about the station as it's growing leaps and bounds. If you have questions or comments during the show, you can call in at 716-213-6816. Or toll-free at 888-320-6151. We do ask that you not use the toll-free to listen to the show, however. Very important that callers mute their phones while waiting to be brought on so as not to cause interference with whoever is speaking. And also, definitely check out my show tomorrow at 12 noon Eastern Time on thesechangingtimesradio.ning.com. Where one of my most requested guests will be back again tomorrow, J.B. Campbell, on my RBN show from 4 to 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. I will have an expert on chemtrails and how you can have these toxic poisons being sprayed on us like rats evaluated to find out exactly what you're being sprayed with. Okay, our answer today, What's Ailing America?, is telling the truth about Jews is a hate crime. And my guest is Deanna Spingola. She has a radio program on republicbroadcasting.org from Monday to Friday, 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. Central Time. They have now eliminated the non-functioning Studio B, so both of us are on just the main station. So that's good. People don't have to choose between Studio A and Studio B. Her radio schedule can be found at spingola.com/radio_schedule.html. She also has Spingola Specials, which are commercial-free interviews that you can also access on her website. And she's written two outstanding books, The Ruling Elite, The Zionist Seizure of World Power, and The Ruling Elite, A Study in Imperialism, Genocide, and Emancipation, which are both available at Amazon, www.spingola.com, and other retailers. So thank you so much, Deanna, for coming on the show today to continue the discussion about the psychopaths who are destroying our world. And I am so uplifted to know that there are more and more, you know, internet radio hosts who are ignoring this threat of anti-Semitism and telling the truth about these monsters, no matter what happens. Because, of course, if we don't identify the problem, we can't do anything about it. So take it away.
Correct. I'm very happy to join you today. You sent me a couple of emails, actually three emails. In one of them, you talked about the Benjamin Franklin prophecy. And this was allegedly recorded by Charles Coatworth Pinckney, who was a delegate to the Constitutional Convention of 1787. Now, this prophecy supposedly was, well, it was, wasn't supposedly, it was entered into the Congressional Record, Volume 103, page 8559, on June 7th, 1957. Now, just because something is entered into the Congressional Record does not mean that indicate any kind of a credibility to the thing. It just means that this was entered into the Congressional Record, which does not mean that it is something that he actually said. And we have to remember that many things are attributed to people who are dead for a lengthy period of time that they actually did not say. And given that he was a very interesting individual, in fact, let me just clarify how interesting he was. He was a founding member in 1765 of something called the Lunar Society. And it was founded on the initiative of the high-ranking Freemason, Benjamin Franklin, in Birmingham, England. He later immigrated to America. The members gathered once a month at the full moon. The society was a revolutionary Masonic organization that supported the overthrow of monarchies and undermining the belief in God. Now, this they talked about this, Ian Taylor talked about this in The Minds of Men, Darwin and the New World Order, which was written in 1984. Another member of the Lunar Society was Erasmus Darwin, and he was the grandfather of Charles Robert Darwin. And the other thing that we have to remember about Benjamin Franklin is that he was a member of a lodge in Paris. Let's see. He was the Grand Master of the Lodge in Philadelphia. And although he did talk about the script that was used in the colonies, particularly because it was called colonial script. And he said that by issuing our own currency, we can control its buying power, and we are not obligated to pay interest to anyone. And so he kind of, you know, if you look at him in one side, he seems to be, you know, very much aware of some of the things that the bankers were doing. And yet, on the other hand, he has these other affiliations that were, well, quite interesting, to put it mildly. He was a member of the Hellfire Club, and I'm talking about Benjamin Franklin. And in the Hellfire Club, they worshipped Satan, and rites of black magic and homosexuality were performed. The brothers sought exclusive erotic experiences. Freemason, of course, was affected by the membership of these members from the Hellfire Club. Sir John Wharton founded the Hellfire Club in 1719. He was a member of the club, which met in the Greyhound Pub near St. James Park in London. And John Wharton was later the Grand Master of the Grand Lodge of England from 1722 to 1723. The most famous members of the Hellfire Club were Sir Francis Dashwood, John Dee, and Benjamin Franklin. He was a member there before returning to America, where he became the Grand Master of the Freemasons in Pennsylvania. And so, you know, he's got these weird associations, and then
let me just interrupt.
Know that the water you're
and we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is telling the truth about Jews is a hate crime, with my special guest, Deanna Spingola. Her website is Spingola, SPINGOLA.com. As I mentioned at the top of the show, she has a show Monday through Friday on republicbroadcasting.org. She has one of the best shows on the internet, in my opinion, and covers a plethora of topics, but is an expert on this Jew problem that we have. And before the break, you were talking about Benjamin Franklin, Deanna, and I don't know if you ever heard this. I actually had come across research somewhere that when they actually restored his house to make it like a national icon, they found bodies of many dead little boys under his house. So apparently he was involved in some very bad things, being a high-level Mason as he was. And that's why I found this Benjamin Franklin prophecy very interesting, because basically, once again, we're being told what's happening, what's going to happen. But, of course, because of the way they did what they did, they allowed it to happen. So please carry on.
All righty. He was one of the first contributors to the very first synagogue. It's one of the oldest synagogues in the United States, and that's the Congregation Mikveh Israel in Philadelphia. And he and another person, Robert Morris, who contributed, who was the financier for the Revolutionary War, one of the financiers of the Revolutionary War, contributed to its building fund. We also have to consider that Benjamin is a very Jewish name. And so I personally do not think that this Benjamin Franklin quote on the Jews is authentic, given the other things that we that we know about him, and given his early affiliation with the secret societies, excuse me, Freemasonry, worshiping Satan, and some of the other things that we find out about him. We also have to consider his behavior with the Whiskey Rebellion, and his love of territory, and it's just very, very interesting. Also, keep in mind that he helped to develop the dollar bill, and on the dollar bill, you will find the Star of David. If you look very closely at the back of the bill, you will see that that the stars above the eagle are arranged as a Star of David. And this was created with Benjamin Franklin and a group of men. And so, as far as the authenticity of George Washington prophecy on the Jews, wherein he apparently warns people about this group and that they will, within 200 years, take over a country. This was actually first created or attributed to a fellow by the name of William Dudley Pelley in 1932, and it was in his periodical called Liberation, which was published in Asheville, North Carolina. So, I do not believe that he said this, because as I said, lots of things, you can enter a lot of things in the Congressional Record, you can create a lot of things many decades after a person dies, but you have to look at the person's behavior and what they did, some of their legislation and some of the other things, and then decide, is this true or not? And I personally do not think that it is true.
Okay.
And especially, you know, they say that it's, it's probably in the archives somewhere. But, okay, where? Where's the archives? And what the prophecy says might be true, I don't think those were his sentiments.
Well, and not to mention the fact I don't have the bill number in front of me, but we know that, you know, Congress actually passed a law that basically said that, you know, we're our puppets of Israel, one of the few laws they passed, you know, in their recent gettings together, where they do nothing. So it's very obvious that, you know, if there's some kind of a warning out there, it doesn't matter. They have already become occupied by these psychopaths, and that's the problem that we face. And we have to identify the problem in order to do anything about it. And that's why we have to see who out there is distracting us from this very important fact. As a matter of fact, the best way that I've found to find out who's who in the zoo is to bring out this Jewish problem and see how people react. And I can tell who they are based on how they react.
Well, you know, we've all been kind of indoctrinated to be politically correct and to not say anything about the Jews, not even bring up the J word. In fact, there are publishers will not publish your books if you have the J word in them in any kind of negative way. Mm-hmm. And it's for fear of the Jews, you know, people just keep their silence. But I don't think that we can do that any longer. And anybody that has been researching for any length of time and is really searching for the truth are going to find that all roads seem to lead to this issue. And, you know, you can't knock the truth. I mean, it's there, and it certainly becomes obvious. And so when I see people, whether they're radio hosts or authors or whatever, totally avoid this issue as well as some of the other issues such as chemtrails or vaccinations or any of the other things that we face, deadly things that we face, then I have to question, well, what exactly are they researching and what exactly are they disseminating? Is it for distraction purposes or what the heck is going on here?
Well, exactly, because as I've said for years, you know, the root of the evil is no question these psychopaths who have no conscience. You know, it's in their bloodline, seeds of Cain, serpent seed line, whatever you want to call it. Their acts prove that they have no conscience. And you have this root of the tree of evil, and there's so many branches you can get into the leaves. You have many people talking about all kinds of different things, but unless we address the root, who is behind all this, then what are we going to do? Because you can chop off a leaf, you can chop off a branch, they just grow another. And that's what's going on. And before you comment on that, let me just say...
Hi,
sorry. Always have problems. It's expected at this point. Okay, so go ahead, continue. Sorry, I don't remember where we left off. This is so frustrating.
I don't know either. Anyway, all of a sudden you were gone. You were talking about the psychopathic nature of a particular tribe. And I think that it's really important to talk about their behaviors, not in any way that makes us look like hate mongers. And what I try and do is just present the evidence and then let people make their own decisions, draw their own conclusions about what kind of people these are when you attribute all of their behaviors to them without ever saying, wow, aren't these people just the worst people on the face of the earth? And I find when we do that, that it's that people, well, actually, There are various responses that I get from people. For instance, yesterday, or actually this morning, I got an email and an individual called me the C word,
right,
which wasn't very nice. And, I mean, it's about the worst thing that you could possibly call a woman. But he said I should get it tattooed, the word tattooed on my face.
Okay, let me interrupt you there, because I get a lot of gnashing of teeth, too, and I think it's actually hilarious. But before we get into that, we have a caller on the line, Kevin Annette from Canada, that's doing the International Tribunal of Crimes and Church of State, which I feel is actually a master template for us to deal with these monsters down the road. It looks like maybe he hung up, or we lost him.
Yeah, I heard a hang up, but I haven't talked to Kevin for a long time, but I think he's doing a really good thing up there.
Yeah, and he wants to give an update, but hopefully he'll call back in. We're having lots of... See, the problem with this station is I'm board op as well as host. So it's multitasking to the extreme, and it's very stressful. But anyways, call back in, Kevin. And I just want to mention, since you said what you said, I'm getting some interesting emails myself. As a matter of fact, there's this minion, Simon James, at hotmail.co.uk, and he's emailing me all kinds of garbage, telling me that, you know, I should quit whining, you know, after everything that's happened to me, and especially with my son, for me to report the news. It's called whining, and that I have no answers to anything, although, of course, I've described the cause of all disease and developed a protocol to reverse all disease, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And I invited him to call in on the show today. I told him you were going to be on, and that you're going to give the true history of how Hitler recognized that the Jew parasites in his country had to be separated from the humans. Perhaps he's the one that gave you a call or an email. But hold on. Okay, here's Kevin again. Let's let Kevin do his thing, and then we'll get back to what we have to do about this problem. Hello, Kevin.
Hi, Dr. Carly. Thanks for having me briefly.
Sure. Sorry for all the interference. I always have problems, but today seems to be on steroids. All right. So your website is ITCCS, International Tribunal of Crimes of Church and State, .org. And I know that you are doing amazing things in regards to bringing the church, the crown, Big Pharma, etc., up on charges for crimes against humanity. Please give the listeners an update on what's going on in your endeavors.
Well, just this last week, on Monday, we posted the first online evidence in the first case in the docket of our court, which is having, of course, to do with genocide in Canada. The Crown of England, the Vatican, the Government of Canada being the main defendants. If people go to that site you mentioned, itccs.org, go to the November 5th posting. That's the latest one up. The first voice you'll hear when you go online is a woman called Lorna McNaughton, a Mohawk Indian woman, describing how her brother witnessed Canadian soldiers shooting Mohawk Indian children and throwing their bodies into a ditch in the year 1943. And this is the kind of evidence that's never been out before, the actual killings by Canadian government troops of Indian children. And Lorna went on to say how these children were still alive when they threw the dirt in on top of them. I mean, this is like something, you know, right out of the worst kind of story of genocide you can imagine. The other two accounts we have posted right at the start of the evidence is a woman describing how she was forced to become sterilized in the year 1983 by a government social worker in Vancouver because she was Native, and if she wanted to see her kids again, she'd have to agree to a tubal ligation. And finally, William Coombs describing how the Queen of England took 10 children out of this Kamloops residential school, and they were never seen again. So we put those three up right away to let people see that these are not only crimes that have never been heard about before, but these are implicating heads of state. And, they're out-and-out genocide. And the way this story is always presented in the Canadian media is that there were some children raped and we've apologized, now things are better. Well, no, this is the real story that's coming out. So I really urge people to follow that. We're going to be having our next evidence posted in a couple of weeks and, involving a whole number of different cases.
Well, the other thing I wanted you to just comment on is, I don't remember which of my shows you called into, but I found it so hilarious that of all the subpoenas that you've put out there, only one individual responded to the subpoena, and his response was essentially, stop harassing us or I'm going to sick the Canadian Mounted Police on you, which is ridiculous because basically by your evidence you're proving what they've done. And for the Canadian Mounted Police to continue to protect the perpetrators of these crimes against humanity just sticks them in the defendant's box as well. Has anything else developed along that line, or has anyone else responded with further threats or whatever?
No, they try to ignore us, and they use their various native puppets to come at us. There's a group in Canada called the Aboriginal People's Television Network. It's actually run by the government, but it's got a few native faces on it to make it look like something it isn't. And they've been putting out a lot of misinformation about what we're doing. They've been openly lying about us because of the first grave that we opened during the Mohawk Residential School. The buttons that we found tangled in the roots of trees, which have been identified as coming from the uniforms of these kids that went to the school. You know, they've been doing everything possible to shut down that excavation and the work we're doing. And the fact that we've taken it to the next level, which is to actually lay charges against these people responsible, that's something that they're doing their best to just try to distract from. So I think, you know, on the other hand, we had 5,000 hits on this posting in the first couple of days. And it shows you how the whole world is waking up to this, and we're really optimistic that not only is this going to carry on, but there's people inside the government and churches are already coming forward with more information for us. You know, we're creating a climate where the honest people can come forward, and that's what we've been hoping for years.
Exactly, and they're actually having protests at churches, putting tape around churches where it says a crime scene, things of that nature, which I love. And I hope that not only are you able to basically take back many of the churches that the people have paid for and, you know, selling off their gold chalices and the rest of it so that some of the starving people can eat, but eventually just imagine the day when the Vatican gets turned over to the people. I would love to be there that day to go down in that secret vault and see what we can find.
Well, it's interesting you say that, Dr. Carly, because we've had people in Rome approach us over the last little while with information about that. And once I have more solid evidence about what they're describing, I'll certainly share that on your program.
Excellent. Okay, Kevin, we'll keep up the great work and definitely keep on calling in with updates. And I so admire you for what you're doing. And as I said, this is a template for what we can do with all of these psychopaths. They can ignore us till the cows come home, but the people are waking up, and it's going to be really amazing what happens when we reach critical mass.
That's right. Well, thank you. Just to remind people, it's www.itccs.org. Thanks so much.
Yeah, wait, hold on, Kevin. And when is your show? I know you have a show as well.
Oh, it's in a few minutes. It's 4 p.m. Eastern time. blogtalkradio.com/hiddenfromhistory.
Okay, very good. All right, thanks for the update, Kevin.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye for now.
Bye-bye. Okay, sorry, Deanna. I just wanted to give him an opportunity to give out that update because, as I'm sure you would agree, this is such a wonderful thing that's happening, that he's continuing to do what he does, you know, no matter what threats they make. Of course, they've threatened to kill him and all the usual expected things. But this is really taking hold. There's many countries involved now. And, you know, once people see this evidence, I mean, what are they going to do? They have to do something. How can they continue to put their coins in the plate knowing what this church is covering up? It's pure evil.
Sure.
And I don't know what the connection is. Maybe you do. I've always wondered about this because a lot of people say that the Vatican is at the top of, you know, the food chain in terms of the evil that's happening in the world. It's pretty obvious to me that it's the Jews. I don't know if the Jews have infiltrated the Vatican, just like they've infiltrated the governments. I don't know if you have any information or thoughts on that.
Right. I personally believe when you look at what the at the control that the Jews have over the media, over Hollywood, over the government. It is that tribe of people that have this control. The Vatican is not running the government. They are not running Hollywood. They are not running all the other various things, the drug trafficking, the organ trafficking, all of the other terrible things that are going on. And I do believe that the Jewish interests have infiltrated many churches, including the Catholic Church, and that is what they do. They always infiltrate existing organizations because they're already built. And this tribe of people, it is simply not interested in doing all of the hard work. They would rather just come in and infiltrate. And the church up in Canada, I don't believe it's just the Catholic Church up there. I believe it is another church. When I had Kevin on my program, he was talking about the other churches in Canada.
Church of England. They have their own state church.
Right.
All right. Hold on, Deanna. There's that pesky music again. We'll be right back after these messages. Stay tuned, folks.
Each one's life a novel. No one else has read.
And we're back with What's Ailing America, where our answer today is telling the truth about Jews is a hate crime, with my special guest, Deanna Spingola. I strongly suggest you go to Spingola, SPINGOLA.com, order her two books. As far as I'm concerned, if homeschooling parents purchase these books and use them to teach their children history, imagine what would happen, Deanna.
Well, imagine. All righty. Okay, so we were talking about Canada, and the B'nai B'rith and its members has a great deal of influence. And like in the United States, these people use the enforcement arm of the government to impose their policies. Now, in Canada, it is the Royal Canadian Mounted Police. The RCMP recently went after Arthur Topham, who is using the same lawyer that Ernst Sundel used, Doug Christie. And these people really don't have a viable reason to arrest Arthur, but they did. And he did jail time. They confiscated his computer. They confiscated many, many things. And this is what they do. It isn't. And what they say, see, they have a hate crime law up there that's very, very strong. And they say, okay, if you talk negatively about a group of people, then that might incite hateful behavior towards those people. In other words, you don't even have to actually engage in any kind of hateful behavior. All you have to do is say something negative, and then people claim that that might instigate violence against whoever you're talking about. However, it's perfectly fine for certain people to denigrate the Muslims, the Germans, anybody they wish. So this law is being applied specifically to people who say negative things or tell the truth about the tribe, the Jews.
Which is outrageous. As a matter of fact, there was actually a segment on HLN. I monitor television so I can report to the people what's going on. And they actually mentioned this American Freedom Defense Initiative, which placed billboards all over New York City train stations. And this was reported on HLN News on August 18th, 2012, promoting Islamo-realism, stating that 19,250 deadly Islamic attacks have happened since 9/11/01 and counting. Now, they're allowed to do that, okay, but if you tell the truth about the fact, well, it was the Mossad that pulled off 9/11 to begin with and all of these other things, no matter how much documentation you have, that becomes a hate crime. And that's just a perfect example about how everything has been turned around 180 degrees. And that's why it's so important for all of us to continue to speak the truth no matter what, because as the evidence grows and people open their minds to what's really going on, I mean, something must be done about this problem. My situation, my solution is to quarantine them, try them for crimes against humanity, and then I guess they'll have to be punished for what they have done. But certainly to sit back and do nothing is not working.
Well, the problem with that, and of course it is a problem, because you have a very, very small minority of the people who even recognize who is behind all of the activities that are destroying the country, because they own the media, they actually own the majority of the people's perceptions, and for instance, if you were in a room full of people, and you mentioned something about the Jews and some of the things that they do, you would have probably 99 of those people say, "Well, the Jews aren't the enemy," because they are so incredibly brainwashed, and it's happened over at least a century of time, and it occurred even before the so-called Civil War, that they had a grip on the Congress, wherein even the Congress people could not say anything even remotely negative about them. And I believe that this started even as early as Benjamin Franklin.
And well, exactly. And that's why people have to educate themselves. A few key things that I suggest people check out, the Kol Nidre and Jim Stone's blog, where he actually talks about what happened to him when he was going to convert to Judaism, and then he heard some secret talks about the Kol Nidre and such, and then they tried to murder him because he decided, "I don't want any part of this." So the Kol Nidre is key. Of course, the Protocols of the Learned Elders of Zion, one of my favorite sources. In fact, the last sentence of the 10th Protocol, which I say all the time, it is indispensable to trouble in all countries people's relations with their governments so as to utterly exhaust humanity with dissension, hatred, envy, starvation, torture, and by the inoculation of diseases in capital letters. And that's my favorite. Okay, everything in there is happening now. Of course, there's an excellent documentary on the web, The Eternal Jew. I encourage everybody to watch that back in the 1940s. And I also have a book, The Jews and Their Lies, by Dr. Martin Luther. We're talking about Dr. Martin Luther from, 1483. And it's pretty amazing the things that he brings out in this book. But one thing I wanted to ask you about, I understand you have somewhere on one of your websites the protocols read so that people can actually hear it. Is that correct?
Yes. A gentleman by the name of Lindsay read the protocols of the Lurid Elders of Zion. And it's at spingola.com. And anyway, it is available, because if you don't want to read it, then you can certainly listen to it.
Yeah, you can go to bed. You can go to bed and fall asleep listening to what they state. Because, see, the amazing thing is that the New York Times, of course, run by Jews, basically stated in 1921 that this was a farce. And that's why people have to hear it or read it, because everything in there is happening right now. It's like saying... and, of course, so that's a conflict of interest. That's like, Big Pharma saying vaccines are safe. So that's why people have to educate themselves as to these facts, so that they will realize who's behind it all. And it proves that these people are psychopaths. We were talking about that before Kevin called. How do you identify a psychopath? It's very easy. You look at what they do. And basically, that's what shows you... a person of no conscience.
Okay, I think that that's it. The protocols are certainly a valid document. They probably came out in 1909 out of Russia. They were judged to be a forgery. But there's even more recent evidence that we can look at, which is the attack of Israel on June the 8th, 1967, of the USS Liberty. And all a person really has to do is read some of the books written about that attack. My favorite one, of course, is by Phil Turney, and is called What I Saw That Day. And this is so recent that you can relate it right. It's testimony that the Israeli government, the Israeli Air Force, the Israeli Navy attacked a United States ship that was clearly defined, clearly marked, that killed 34 people, injured another 172. And Johnson said that he wanted that GD ship sunk to the bottom of the ocean, and that he would not have his friends humiliated. And so where people may not accept the protocols of the Lurid Elders of Zion, or some of the other more ancient documents, or some of the other things that people might use. For instance, you mentioned the International Jew. And that was a film that was created in Germany by the NSDAP. I think it was 1943, 1941. But if people watch that film, they will see some interesting things. But the first person who comes along and say, well, that's just propaganda. That's not true. But when you look at the facts behind the USS Liberty, then it's a totally different kind of a situation. And then if you also look at the facts behind behind 9/11, it is certainly well known that there were five Israelis here that were sent here to photograph the incident, to record it. And of course, they had to have something to do with it, or else they would not have been sent here to record something that they didn't know anything about. But the other thing is that the U.S. government had to have participated, of course, in 9/11, because we claim to be the strongest military force on the face of the earth, and yet we could not defend ourselves against 19 Arabs with box cutters. That's totally preposterous. Anybody that believes the official version of 9/11 simply has not evaluated it. And of course, then you have Building 7, which was not hit by any kind of an airplane. If in fact there were airplanes there on 9/11, it was not hit by any kind of an airplane. And
okay,
yet,
wait. Hold on. I'm sorry.
At AlliantTalkRadio.com, you could say that we're all talk.
Today I have a special treat for you guys. Going to be interviewing Jim Mars coming up.
You go to the picture show and you see.